And we're back here on Unusual Sources, 93.3 CFMU FM, broadcasting to Hamilton on the FM dial at 93.3 and the rest of the world at cfmu.mcmaster.ca. And as promised, we do have a special surprise interview for you this week. It's Counterpunch writer and also founder of thiscan'tbehappening.net, Dave Lindorf. Now, Dave, of course, is a prolific writer who is responsible for quite a number of other publications and interviews across the circuit. You'll be hearing more about that. But Dave's joining our program today to discuss the ongoing drive to limit the information available to American media viewers, or consumers, as we're known. So recently, the U.S. has blocked some citizens, or its citizens in general, from accessing press TV via satellite. And now, Dave, I wanted to, first of all, thank you very much for being on the program. So thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a couple of years, actually. Dave was here to discuss another issue, the excitement of Raymond Davis in Pakistan on the program. That might come up a little later. But for our listeners, we just should remind them, can you tell us, what is thiscan'tbehappening.net?
It's an online newspaper that's run by a collective of five journalists that I founded out of a blog I had back in 2004. And when it started getting a lot of readership, I decided it was more than I could handle just doing blogs. So, and there was a need for generating news. So not just, you know, running stories like, you know, Truth Out or something that are running elsewhere. So, the five of us got together and decided we'll be a newspaper.
Yes. So, I recall that you had actually put together, or whoever is responsible for the About Us section, put together some clever descriptions of how the site originated. You had wanted to create a disruption in the media environment, in a sense.
Exactly, and we are trying to do that still.
Yes, hiring
we
just
passed our 3 millionth reader.
Wow. So, I saw the counter on the website.
That's kind of exciting, so we're proud.
Yeah. By adding those 2, 3, 4 other authors, you increased your capability by 300-400%, as pointed out.
I hope all your listeners will go over and kick the counter up some more and try us out, know about us.
I like the original content. I just wanted one other thing. How did you come to name it that way?
I did a book of my collected some of my collected works about the run-up to the war in Iraq and, you know, attacks on civil liberties since 2001. And I was trying to come up with a title for it. And my wife said it should be This Can't Be Happening, because she said every morning you come down, you open up the newspaper, and that's the first thing you say. So, and then my daughter came up with the subhead for the book, and I started doing the blog when I did that book to sort of promote the book, and then it became more than the book, which didn't become much. So
no, you seem to be one of that slim minority of Americans who are reacting the way they should be to the changes in the United States. Your site there, and the book came out around 2003, 2004, which would have been in the middle of the Bush era. So
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. That's why this can't be happening.
I gained some notoriety for writing a piece comparing Bush to Hitler, and for using the big lie, basically. And I got pilloried, and the site got pilloried in the National Review by Taranto, I think his name is, and then even in The Nation. And that's where Alex Coburn came to my defense and said, you know, that I had been right, and the only thing he said he's a lot like Hitler without the oratorical skills.
Right.
That I nailed it. So.
Well, Alexander Coburn, bless his heart. Thanks to you and others, you're keeping Counterpunch going in the spirit that he would have wanted, and we are so thankful for that. Alternative media is more important than it's ever been, and it's clear that
you said it.
I mean, freedom of speech, freedom of information, they're driving passions for you, and I remember that from our interview when you were discussing Raymond Davis in Pakistan, and you're asking the questions that the media wasn't asking. That's part of what your goal is. And your blog and the columns, they're always talking about the chief hypocrisies and disillusionment that's heaping up in the U.S. So, you know.
Well, a classic case in point is this of Chris Dorner in Big Bear today, where the press was told they couldn't come near at all to the staked out cabin. And in fact, you know, they executed him. They torched the place and wouldn't let the fire trucks in. You can hear it on the tapes we have on our site. of the cops talking. They tell the fire departments, no, it's not burned enough yet. You know, don't come in. And they torched it. But the press was obligingly stayed away. And then you heard one television broadcast had the tapes of them saying, burn the MF-er, you know. And the reporter says, well, you can hear that the police are understandably upset. And it's like, what?
Yes, this can't be happening. Indeed, your blog, and this can't be happening, has covered two or three articles, one or two of yours, and I noticed a few others, Lynn and others wrote about that as it was happening, giving, again, the kind of commentary we're not getting. And also I noticed in Counterpunch, I think it was George Ciccariello Maurer, he said, as you were saying, the police basically asked the media to stop reporting on the Dorner issue. They basically said that he could use this information to cause harm to people if you report on what's occurring. So the press obligingly just stepped back.
That's right. And they also described his blog as a rant, but it's not. It's an indictment.
It's been pointed out in the last couple of days that you have some news aggregator websites that just say, here's the top things you need to know about the Dorner case. And they give some very superficial information when mm-hmm. there's a lot of analysis that needs to be conducted and how it relates to major problems that are occurring within the United States at the level of the LAPD, but much larger. And that's the kind of analysis that you're giving us. There's press blackouts in other countries that we criticize. But here, you know, the police just ask nicely, as Counterpunch and you guys pointed out. The police ask nicely and the media steps back.
No challenge at all.
Yeah, and this challenge is what we need. And some of the big problems we're facing right now is this media blackout, this rollback of information that's available to Americans. And I guess the latest episode is this Press TV situation that you covered very recently. Now, for those who might not have been keeping up on this, especially here in Canada, can you tell us, like, what happened to Press TV in the U.S.?
Well, it happened to you, too. The Press TV is the state television of Iran, and they have an English language version, which was being broadcast over North America through the satellite part of the Intelsat network, which is a U.S. company with about 50 satellites that is domiciled in Luxembourg, but is run by U.S. executives from some of the big telecom companies in the U.S. who, you know, moved into Intelsat, and, you know, who obviously respond to U.S. government demands. And the U.S. decided that Press TV should be embargoed the same as banks and everything else that they're embargoing over the nuclear fuel issue. Well, they call it the nuclear weapon issue. But it's not the same thing. I mean, it's bad enough to have it's an act of war to embargo a country. And, you know, they're embargoing, they're freezing out the Iranians from the banking industry. They're not letting them sell their oil. You know, they're barring imports of many, many materials so that, that there are children dying in Iran today because they can't get chemotherapy chemicals and so on, much as they did to Iraq in the years after the first Iraq war, Gulf War. But in any case, the Press TV had all the failings of a state television network. It's a propaganda organ, you know, of the Iranian state, but it also had terrific reporting on things that you get no reporting on here, you know, like on what's really going on in Bahrain or what's really going on in Yemen, and so on. And I have to say, in full disclosure, I was getting called a lot in the last 2 years by reporters from Press TV who would, and they still call me, to ask me to comment on particularly things in the U.S. And so I'm a voice on that radio as a, you know, commentator on events, just as a knowledgeable source, you know, like you call a reporter in Germany to contact for comment on some event in Germany. But then they liked what I had to say so much that last June they called me and asked me if I would write a weekly column. And so I said, well, look, you know, your state network, I want to make sure that I have full control over this, so I'll only do this under the following circumstances. You got to pay me $200 a column. You got to pay me whether you run it or not. You have to agree that you will not cut it and you will not add to it. And if you do change anything in it, then my name comes off it. I don't want anything to do with it. And they said, okay. There was no discussion. They just said, okay. And for your listeners, I have never gotten so much freedom as a columnist or a writer as that from any publisher, except when I've been on the editorial board.
It is amazing in several respects. I mean, you're very consistent in your principles. You want to have freedom of speech, and you don't want to be censored. And
that's right.
They gave you this opportunity. I mean, we learn about state TV here in North America as a bad thing, typically, unless it's our own state TV, like CBC in Canada.
Yeah, right.
But the other guy's state TV is really bad. But here you are. You go on there, and you get censored less than you would if you were trying to talk to CNN or CBS.
I only had one thing happen, and that was where there's one story I did on the dispute over the death penalty in the U.S., and they said they weren't going to run it because they didn't, you know, their argument was they didn't think it would be interesting to Iranian, you know, it was too parochially a U.S. issue. And I said, well, I don't think so. You've got a death penalty, and I'm sure it's controversial, too. And, you know, they said, nah, it's a U.S. issue. You know, I think that it was a political decision. They didn't want to air that one. And, you know, okay, but they didn't air it. I got paid for it. And, you know, that was the only one. And I had criticized Iran on, you know, their policies in terms of confrontation with U.S. Navy in the Gulf. I thought it was stupid, and I said that. But and they let that run. So, you know, I got more freedom there than I get in the U.S. media. And anyway, the story is that this was blocked, and so now the geostationary communication satellite that was carrying Press TV English language to North America, which includes Canada, has shut off that channel.
Wow.
So it's a blackout, and you know, my country is regularly chastising countries like Cuba for blocking Radio Marti, or, you know, for, they used to blast the Soviet Union for blocking Voice of America. You know, North Koreans, the Chinese are blocking, you know, block out the New York Times periodically, and we blast them and say, how dare you? You know, that's freedom of information. And here they did it. You know, only they call it, they'll call it an economic boycott. It's not because of what they have to say. But, you know, that's baloney. They're blocking information that is embarrassing to the U.S.
The irony is hilarious because you have, I mean, Press TV is featuring a lot of North American activists. So they're speaking to you.
That's exactly right.
And they're speaking to other people and in Canada and so forth. And then, bam, it's our governments that block that outlet for our own activists to have a television presence. And the difference between CNN and MSNBC here is they're even more restrictive. If you've had experience with them.
Oh my God, they're horrible. They're hiding so much stuff that it's unbelievable. You can't. They're just stories that can't get on that.
Yeah, and there's this sort of Cold War aspect to it. You mentioned the Soviet Union and Cuba, and it's kind of like back in the day, you'd have people grumble in the Soviet Union. They'd say, well, you got to watch the American news to learn what's happening in the Soviet Union. And similarly, you'd have to watch the Soviet news to see what the United States is doing. Is it kind of that aspect now, this Cold War thing that we're doing, where you got to watch the Press TV to get the full extent of what America and Israel are doing in the world?
Yeah, we need all the sources of information we can get. I can't, you know, I have to read The Guardian. I have to listen to Al Jazeera. Press TV, by the way, people can get Press TV, but you got to do it on the web now. So it's presstv.ir. And I encourage people to do it. You know, you take it with a grain of salt. It's state, you know, you guys in Canada know about state TV. You know how to read between the lines. And you know, it's probably worse than CBC, but, you know, their international stuff can be really good.
It's about media diversity, as you said, because I've traveled a little bit, and if you go to some European countries or the global south, even Cuba, you know, you get news from all these different European countries. There's the BBC and there's other European channels. And then you got Middle Eastern countries. You have Al Jazeera and you have other stations, maybe Telesur in Latin America. So you have this huge media diversity. Once you go to the United States, you have this MSN, CNN, MSNBC, whatever. That's your blob.
Well, you know what? It's even worse than that, because when I was the last time I was out of the U.S. for any length of time was 2004. I was in residence in a Fulbright program teaching in Taiwan, and so I used to watch CNN there, and I thought, wow, this is really good, and I suddenly realized it's CNN International. So I asked about it to a friend who works for CNN, Mike Chinoy, and it turns out that CNN has two feeds. They've got an international feed that has to compete with, the foreign things like BBC, and so they're much better. And then there are a lot of stories they run on CNN international feed that they don't run on the domestic feed.
Yeah, there was a joke circulating on the internet about magazine covers, Time or other magazines and their international editions, and the American audience always seems to get the dumbed down cover.
Exactly. Yeah. No, if they tried to pawn off the crap that they give Americans overseas, they'd lose all their advertisers and all their business.
We can't compete.
Nobody would read. Nobody'd look at CNN if they ran the crap that they run here.
Yeah, well there you have it. I mean, we made fun of George Bush, the decider president, but now they've decided what we can and what we can't watch, and in terms of press TV in the United States, and they're blocking it in Europe too now, I'm told. They're blocking the British-French satellites. So there's this push, and it's chilling. And I just end it that way with what you pointed out. Both of us were involved in the anti-war movement in the lead-up to the war in Iraq. And we know what it looks like when they're putting the screws on a country.
Yep.
And that's what's happening here. This is the kind of thing you do before a war. And it's the kind of policy that makes a war more likely. And, you know, I think instead of doing that, we should be backing away entirely from that policy. You can talk to Press TV. You can talk to every news station. And in every country in the world, there's a whole voice and body of opinion in the world that is majority against war. So stop blocking it.
Yeah, well, I would urge you to have your listeners, first of all, demand that Canada get access to this and don't, follow lockstep with the U.S. And secondly, that in the meantime, people should go and use that website to at least see what they're saying in Iran.
It's fascinating news that we aren't being told about. Press TV, I guess, as you said, you can still get that online.
It's presstv.ir.
I guess it's more interesting now once they censor it, too.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, you're not censored yet, so we can still find you on This Can't Be Happening, and we can find your regular columns in Counterpunch, and you give interviews on the radio to a wide range of stations across North America. So we'll be hearing more from you through all these electronic and other sources. So thanks, Dave. I'm going to let our listeners know where to find your books and your information, but I just wanted to thank you for taking the time to be on our program this week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, of course, that is Dave Lindorf. And Dave, he's been on our program before, as I mentioned, to talk about Agent Raymond Davis in Pakistan. That was a fun interview, which we still have archived. And Dave Lindorf there was looking at some of the questions we weren't asking about precisely what his mandate was and what he was up to and in what way the law and security apparatus was treating the shooting incident that he was involved in. Dave always sort of asked the more detective-oriented questions that some of the talking heads completely ignore. So I recommend you check into Dave Lindorf. According to his website, he's been raking in the journalistic muck now for 40 years. He started out small town journalism and has been moving on to everything from Business Week to Rolling Stone. So he founded the Los Angeles Vanguard back in the 70s, and he's been a correspondent in Hong Kong and China for Business Week. So you can find his books available online. He's the co-author, along with Barbara Olshansky, of The Case for Impeachment, Legal Arguments for Removing President George W. Bush from Office. If only we had listened to him back in 2006. And he's the author of three earlier books, This Can't Be Happening, Resisting the Disintegration of American Democracy, Marketplace Medicine, The Rise of the For-Profit Hospital Chains, and Killing Time, an investigation into the death row case of Mumia Abu-Jamal. Dave has experience in every facet of activism, as you can see, from prison solidarity activism to anti-war movements to social justice, free speech, and civil liberties. He's been doing this for a long time, covering it very well. I read every single Counterpunch article by Dave Lindorf, and I try to keep track of his blog as well. This is the kind of activism we need to support and foster. We know there's a clampdown in the United States that's getting worse, and if it wasn't for voices like Dave Lindorf and Counterpunch, and This Can't Be Happening, there'd be almost no one speaking about it. So we're very much appreciative of that. I want to thank him. Coming up, I'm going to play some Taylor Report commentary on the various recent incidents in the United States, which, of course, Dave Lindorf's This Can't Be Happening has also written so well about. So that's coming up next.